Welcome to Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans, a ministry dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, inspiring, educating, and equipping believers to care for vulnerable children, and supporting those who have heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Here's your host, Sandra Flack.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. That is Jeremiah 29:11. This is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and my guest today is local foster and adoptive mom, Karina Bestvina. Karina and her husband, Chris, are parents to three children. Angelina, age 10, and Sophia, age 5, both came into their family by birth. And four-year-old Alina, who joined their family by adoption. Welcome to the show, Karina.
Hello, thank you.
So it's great having you, and I've had the privilege of meeting you in person, and you took our Empowered to Connect class, and that was fun. So I wanted to reach out to you to share your story on the show. Like we said, you have two children biologically, and I know Alina kind of came in between Angelina and Sophia. So tell us what led you and Chris to adoption.
Well, it began in the beginning of our journey together as Chris and I, we struggled to conceive a child. And in that walk, we were seeing a fertility doctor and were told that we could not have children naturally. With that, that's what led us to the Lord. And with that, we, within 6 months of attending our church and becoming faith-based, we conceived Angelina. And then after Angelina was about four, we were a little, you know, like, okay, this isn't what our family is going to be. We wanted to expand and thinking, okay, she was our miracle baby. And what's the next step? Because we did go in and kind of pursue domestic adoption and all that. And financially, it wasn't fit into our budget. So friends of ours who had already begun their foster process, we had talked with them and thought, oh, okay. So we met with a lady from Berkshire and we sat down and got the information. We prayed about it and we thought, wow, this would be a great opportunity to reach out into the community and help children and also have the option to adopt. So that's what led us to that. And we got certified. We did towards the end of that find out, as we almost got certified for fostering, that I was pregnant with Sophia, our second one. But we also felt like, okay, this isn't the end, this is the beginning. And we continued, we got certified, and we began our fostering journey.
Wow, that's incredible. So tell us what you can about Alina coming into your family through foster care.
So we got a call one day, and there was this baby who was in the hospital and needed to be released. And we were told that she had fractured ribs. She was only 3 weeks. So I called my husband, and he's like, okay. I said, I think this is it. You know, it sounds like, you know, a good fit. It was one baby, which we want to take one at a time. We had gotten a few calls for a couple at a time, and we're like, oh, no. We really wanted to do one. And so we said, okay. And we went and picked her up. And immediately my oldest just fell in love. And of course, Sophia was only 18 months, I think it was. And she was just ecstatic to see, oh, we have a live baby now. So, you know, she came to us and she was very hard. She many nights was very difficult. Sleep wise, she didn't sleep. And, but we just, you know, we trudged through and, you know, she just, my oldest one just, you know, just really accepted her. And it's never been a discussion with her about, oh, well, she's not really my sister. She's really not, you know, we just foster her. It was never that came up. We just went through the steps you know, and it was difficult because, you know, you got court and this baby was only 3 weeks. So with that, you know, the nurturing, touch and constant, you know, needing was, you know, there. And we had to, you know, so everybody pretty much attached pretty quickly and she fit right in. And it's funny because from the day one, and even her biological mother who met us even said, Alina looks just like our family. So.
You didn't know she was going to stay forever, because initially when she came in through foster care, there was a plan of reunification. She was supposed to be home with mom. So tell us about that part of the journey.
Yeah. So when she came in, everybody said, okay, looks like, you know, from what we're gathering information, it was dad who had hurt her. Mom's just got to get her ducks in a row. She was on maternity leave. She's just got to get her own apartment. You know, we met her, and that's, you know, so we're like, all right, you know, and I explained to my oldest, you know, this is what we do. This is the beginning, and this is the first child that's come into our home. So what we're doing is we're going to come alongside mom, and we're going to help her so that Alina can be with her, because God had, you know, put her, you know, gave Jamie to birth her for a reason. So we're going to do this, but know that the goal is reunification, and she may not, and it, at that point, it didn't look like she was going to stay. So.
And then when did it become real to you that she could be, you knew she wasn't going to stay, but then for a while that didn't look possible. It actually looked like she might stay. What was going on?
It month by month. So with foster care, every 3 months you go into court and they just double check. She's still in the same home. How's the baby? What's going on with mom? And every time there were excuses for why mom wasn't doing what she was supposed to be doing. And so it just dragged on and on and on. And so we were told, you know, after a year of a child being in care, we can step up and become, you know, possibly that child can stay, we can adopt them. So as we're approaching this, we're like, okay, well, it's been a year. So now a year has gone by. Visits were spread out, canceled. Mom was constantly sick. So things started to unfold that, okay, this wasn't, mom didn't have her ducks in a row. And then things started coming undone of history, mom's history and the family's history. So grandma couldn't take Alina, so she had to stay where she was. And then about, I think Alina was 15 months, they still hadn't filed paperwork on TPR, which is termination of parental rights. So we had a meeting and the goal was, all right, we're going to file this paper, but mom, you can still work for reunification. And Karina, this can still happen. She has till she's 18 months now. That came upon. I said, okay, 18 months. So we're waiting for the paperwork. Meanwhile, all of a sudden, the aunt came out of nowhere and said, I'd like to take Alina. So that's where things started to, get a little rocky. And we were like, okay, you know, this is coming. This could be the time where she actually could be leaving our home.
Wow, after 18 months. And reunification is almost always the goal with foster care, children with their birth parents or other family members when it's safe and prudent to do so, when it's in the best interest of the child. Sometimes kids go home, sometimes they stay with their foster family and become available for adoption. Sometimes they go home and sometimes they come back into care. It is a messy system. Karina, share with us what point did you really know Alina would be yours forever?
So you opened up with that scripture of Jeremiah 29. So I remember the day, and I was at work. I work part-time. And my caseworker called me and said, Karina, they're filing an Article 10. I'm like, what is that? She goes, they're going to give her to her aunt. And I said, they can't. They just can't. So I called my husband. We were praying. I'm like, something isn't right. Something is not right. And I just called, you know, we had gotten an attorney who was just sitting in the background, you know, because we didn't have the funds for all that. We were here to help. But I knew in my heart, her going was not a good choice. I called the supervisor, asked for a meeting. We all came in for a meeting, and God was just present through it all. Even in that meeting, I couldn't find a sitter for Alina, so she came in. So the county saw firsthand how difficult Alina was. And, you know, I just said to them, the aunt is not capable. She can't. And so I remember going to bed that night, and that verse just stuck in my mind because I called my pastor and said, all right, she's probably leaving. And I don't want her to leave without being surrounded by prayer or whatever. I just need our congregation to come around this baby and pray. And that was the scripture that came to us. And that night I was laying in bed just sobbing because I'm thinking, this is my baby. I attached to her. I've endured so many of them. Let me tell you, 4 years old, and we still have sleepless nights. But I just was like, there's no way. And I was laying in bed, and the Lord just spoke to me and said, Karina, she's yours. She's yours. And I just woke up that day and I said, all right, I'm going to fight, because I knew that this was right. I needed to. From that day forward, I called the attorney. We did some searching. Everything crumbled. Everything crumbled from her to go with her aunt. It wasn't. And we endured a week of transitioning. So they said, well, we're going to do a week of transitioning because we need the aunt for Alina to have more time with the aunt. And, you know, because that's how they do transitioning. So we decrease and that family increases. So there were days we're sitting there and she leaves for a day or two. And my world was rocked. It was rock, but we just knew in our heart that this wasn't the end. And it wasn't, it did. Everything just like I said, legally, all that stuff, that Article 10 just fell apart. The aunt couldn't take her.
So you finally adopted Alina when?
This year, April 18th, we finally went into court and officially made her a Beth Vina.
And she's 4 years old.
Yep.
So what has life been like with three girls?
It's a little traumatic at times, a lot of times. But it's also, I have to say, we have decided, like, right for the summer, we're not taking any kids in right now. And we're just enjoying being a family legally and legitly. So it's been wonderful. It really, it's like God has just, you know, this is what our family is. It's been wonderful.
So are you and Chris still planning to foster again in the future?
Yes, we are. We just, you know, we've just decided to take this time, enjoy each other. And I think as summer wraps up and we get into the school routine, I think we will reevaluate, pray, and see where. We both strongly believe that we're not done. There is such a need out there. And I mean, there's different sections of fostering. So we're just going to see exactly what's next.
Yeah. So when you refer to different sections, you can foster, which is if people are familiar with fostering, the children come in and you foster them until they are reunified or something else takes place and changes, or they become available for adoption. But there's other ways to foster as well, such as doing respite care. Can you just explain for our listeners what respite care is?
So respite is wonderful, and it's a big need out there. So that's where you do have to be certified as a foster home to do it, but you can take the kids in for a weekend, for one night, or, you know, most of the time. Like in the beginning of having Alina, because she struggled with sleeping and was so difficult, during the summer we would go camping. We camp all the time. But we used that, and we found a friend who also fosters. So she would take Alina on the weekends that we camped. So she would take her, and that way, my husband and I and the girls, we had a break from that and could just get some rest, because we didn't sleep at all. So we get some rest. But then there's times where, some families do go on vacation and they need that week or that 10 days and they can't take the children. A lot of times you're not approved to take them out of state, or, there's a certain, and I'm not 100% sure what it is, like a limit of the miles away from home, that you have to be approved. So most of the time it is just great because, the family unit just needs to, have a little break and think, okay, is this, because if it's hard, you need a little time to say, take a little break and say, okay, is this, and that's what, a lot of times we need that. So.
Yeah. And there, things come up. You could be a foster parent and there's a death in the family. So you have to go out of town for a funeral which is a much more reason to go out of town, but things come up and it's very difficult to navigate those things when you're fostering and fostering is ministry. It's the mission field of your home, and foster families need that support. So I think it's wonderful when church members decide we're going to take those foster care classes and we're going to get certified, not because we want to bring kids into our home full time, but because we want to help other families in our church who are fostering so that they can get a break. And it could be just a break for a day, or for mom and dad to have a date night, or it could be so mom and dad can actually sleep for the weekend, like in your case, or sometimes it's that week away, or any number of things. So that's a huge aspect of ministry where people in the church can come alongside and really be a support and step in here. Now, you mentioned, Karina, you fostered through Berkshire?
Yeah.
Anything you want to say on that?
It's good. I like having, they're a private agency, so you're not dealing directly with the county. So they have to deal with the county. So you basically get a worker, and that worker works directly with you and the child. And, we were blessed to have, it took a little time. We had a couple different workers in the beginning, but then, when Alina was just a year, I think it was, Carol stepped in and has been our worker the whole way through. And it was, it was wonderful to just have that person, who was available.
Yes. And our listeners, if you're interested in learning more about how to become a foster parent or what is a good agency to go through, you can find links to all the local foster care agencies, the county agencies and private agencies like Berkshire Farm, right on our website. Just go to justicefororphansny.org, click on the foster care tab at the top of the page, and then you'll see there's information explaining foster care and respite care and the process. And then there's links, like I said, to all of those agencies. There's always such a huge need for good foster parents, especially Christian foster parents, right? So the process is basically the same no matter what agency you go through. You're going to do an application. You're going to have to take those, I believe it's 10 weeks of foster parent training classes. There's a home study that is done, all of those things. So we just ask you to pray about it and see what God would have you to do, because there is a huge need for foster parents out there. So Karina, as we begin to wrap up here today, what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to hear? What do you want them to take away from listening to our conversation today?
Just that there is a need out there. And if you pray and listen, God does call us to take care of the orphans and the widows. But when he talks about taking care of the orphans, you don't necessarily have to open your house and bring these kids in. Not all of us have the patience or the ability to do that, but it could be anybody that you can come over and bring a meal, watch that child while they take a nap, take a shower, run errands, just to have that. So just know, but there also is that need to foster and adopt these children. It is out there and there is a need. So if you just pray about it and just look out into your communities and just see, there's one thing that you can do, and just to help these children. They really, you know, because, and these kids coming, especially into foster care, there's a lot of trauma. There is a lot of trauma, especially as they've gotten older and being taken from their home. So there is, and you know, that's what's on my heart, is I just hope more people will just listen and be aware and hope, find that one thing you can do just to help the kids.
That's right. Pray about it, right?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Karina,
thank you so much for sharing your story with us today, and thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So if you are prayerfully considering becoming a foster parent, again, you can go to our website, justicefororphansny.org, click on the foster care tab, and you can find more excellent information about foster parenting and links to several local foster care agencies. So thank you for listening today. I am your host, Sandra Flack, and I'd also like to thank some very important people, some local businesses who really care about kids. And they're going to be helping us with our banquet coming up in September, our fundraising banquet. So our full table sponsors include Lawler Family Painting of Catskill, Collins and Sons of Ravenna, Tumble Rock Cabins of Duanesburg, New Scotland Paving of Voorheesville, Thiel Karting of Ravenna, and our half table sponsors are Heart Ear Boutique of Glenmont, Crossroads Ford of Ravenna, Bank of Greene County of Catskill, and Persico Oil Company, also of Ravenna. They're all underwriters for our September 2019 banquet. So a big shout out of thanks to them. Now, you can also find more episodes of this show on our website, justicefororphansny.org, also on iTunes or Google Play, by searching for the show by name, Orphans No More. Be sure to find and follow and share the podcast and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Justice for Orphans. JFO is a nonprofit ministry on a mission to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. We inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls. And like we talked about today, that could be foster care full-time. It could be respite care. It could be bringing a meal to a foster family that just gets a placement suddenly. Any way God calls you to come alongside and be involved in this arena. To learn more or to contact us or to donate online, you can visit us again at justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for listening to Orphans No More, for sharing what you've heard and praying for vulnerable children everywhere. We hope you are inspired to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you. For more information, visit justicefororphansny.org.